Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. We dig through stacks of sources to pull out the key insights, basically so you can stay informed without all the noise. You know, when it comes to connection, especially like dating, it can feel super overwhelming, like trying to solve one of those Rubik's cubes, but maybe in the dark. So many things to think about, rules you think you should follow, and yeah, this fear of messing up. We're all looking for something real, right? That spark, that bond. But getting there, wow, it can be confusing. So today, we're trying to shed some light on that. Our deep dive is called The Chemistry of Connection, Dating Tips That Work. We're going to unpack this really interesting mix of, well, science and art behind attraction, behind making relationships last. We're using some great material you shared with us. And our mission isn't just, you know, more tips. It's digging into the why. Why does certain stuff actually build chemistry? Hopefully give you a clearer map for that that dating Rubik's Cube. I'm really curious, actually, how these ideas can maybe cut through some of the confusion, maybe give us a shortcut to understanding attraction better.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. That's the aim. What the sources we looked at really show is this isn't just about, like, getting a date. It's more fundamental. It's about understanding how human connection actually works. These aren't just tricks, you know. They're mechanics, things you can consciously work on, not just for romance either, but for any really meaningful relationship. So we'll look at the what to do, sure, but also the psychology behind it, like why it works, which gives you a much deeper grasp, I think.
Okay, let's get into it then. We throw around this word attraction like it's, I don't know, magic. And often, yeah, we just boil it down to looks. But the sources seem to say it's way richer than that. So what is attraction, really?
If we strip away those kind of common ideas, that's a really important place to start. Because it's not just one thing. The material makes it clear it's like a complex interplay. Think of it maybe like the three-layer cake. Every layer matters. So you've got the physical cues. Yes, that's how you look, body language, posture, grooming. Sure. But it's also those subtle signals you send out without even thinking. Then, layer two, emotional cues. This is stuff like empathy, having a good sense of humor, and crucially, emotional intelligence. You know, understanding your own feelings, being able to read and respond to others. And the third layer, intellectual cues. Things like shared interests, yeah, but also having conversations that are actually stimulating. Having a real curiosity about things, about the other person. But the foundation holding it all together, what the sources keep coming back to, it's genuine confidence and authenticity. It's not about putting on an act. It's about, well, being comfortable being you.
Right, authenticity and confidence. So if those are the bedrock, the foundation,
yeah,
how do we actually build that genuinely? Because confidence, yeah, it's magnetic. Everyone agrees on that. But it's so, so different from arrogance, isn't it? Where do the sources draw that line? And what are the kind of practical steps to build the real thing?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And yet lots of people find that hard. What the sources emphasize is that true confidence isn't loud. It's not about proving anything. It's more of a like a quiet internal knowing your own worth. And that changes how you carry yourself, how you interact, kind of subtly. So the parts are knowing your value, fundamentally. Embracing your quirks, the things that make you, you. Those are actually memorable. And this is important. Taking care of yourself, body and mind. Holistic self-care. It's not just about feeling good. It signals stability.
Right.
Self-respect, which is very attractive. For practical steps, the material suggests things like maybe daily self-affirmations to help internalize that sense of worth. Paying conscious attention to your posture, standing tall, open, and dressing in a way that makes you feel good, feel powerful, not just what you think others expect. It's really an inside-out job, you know. And it does change how you show up.
That makes a lot of sense. Confidence coming from the inside out. Okay.
Sure.
So moving from that internal state, how do we then connect with other people? The sources talk about mastering the art of conversation. And that sounds crucial. But for a lot of us, that's where things get, well, nervy. That's the part of the Rubik's Cube that feels most jumbled. What actually makes a conversation, like, really engaging? Not just small talk.
Right. Getting beyond the surface level is key. The sources definitely push back against cliches. Instead, they suggest focusing on things that really create engagement, like asking open-ended questions, questions that need more than a yes or no. They invite stories. A really good example they gave was something like, what's something that genuinely inspired you recently and why? See, that opens things up. But it's not just asking. It's active listening,
right,
really absorbing what they're saying and showing you're listening with follow-up questions, not just waiting for your turn to talk. And then, yeah, to build that spark, that chemistry, a bit of humor, maybe some light, playful teasing can really work, creates a fun dynamic. The core idea here, though, is pretty profound. People remember how you make them feel, much more than the exact words you said. So making the conversation feel fun, engaging, understood, that's the goal.
That's a fantastic point, the feeling over the facts. But it's not just our words doing the talking, is it? Our bodies are saying a lot, too. Sometimes maybe even things we don't intend.
Oh, absolutely. Nonverbal stuff is incredibly powerful. And the sources point out specific ways to use body language to your advantage. Things like making eye contact, not staring, obviously, but genuine contact. It builds trust, signals sincerity, subtly mirroring your date's movement, maybe how they're sitting or a gesture they use. That can create this subconscious feeling of connection, like you're in sync. Leaning in just a bit when they're talking shows you're really engaged. And smiling, a real smile, the kind that reaches your eyes, it's infectious, makes you seem warm, approachable. But, and this is a big but, there's a caution. Respect personal space, always. Pushing those nonverbal boundaries too fast, that can kill the vibe instantly. So, you know, test the waters gently. Watch for their reaction.
Right, reading the room, basically. Okay, so we've handled the first impression. Maybe the conversation's flowing. How do we deepen it, move past just, like, pleasantries and make a real connection? The material mentions showing authentic interest. Sounds simple, but maybe it's harder than it looks.
It does require some conscious effort, yeah. It's not just about being physically present. The sources stress that showing you've actually heard and remembered what they shared is huge. So making an effort to recall their name, obviously, but also little things, hobbies they mentioned, a story they told, it just signals, hey, I see you as an individual, not just, you know, another date. And when you give compliments, try focusing on qualities, their sense of humor, their passion about something, a cool perspective they had, not just you look nice, though that's okay too sometimes. And maybe counterintuitively, sharing a little bit of your own vulnerability, appropriately, of course. Like a small fear or a dream you have, it builds trust, encourages them to open up too, creates that psychological safety. A really practical tip they suggest. After a date, maybe note down one specific thing they shared, then bring it up naturally next time you talk. It's subtle, but it shows you were really listening and that you care.
That's a great actionable tip. And building on that, okay, the sources call this the most powerful attraction factor, emotional connection. Wow, that feels like the holy grail for a lot of people wanting something deep, right?
Yeah.
So how do we actually build that? What are the pathways?
This is where we really start solving a big piece of that puzzle, I think. Emotional connection isn't just something that happens to you. You actively build it. Strategies include things like sharing meaningful experiences, doing new stuff together, not just dinner and a movie every time. Creating unique memories really strengthens that bond, makes it about more than just routine. It also means being supportive and empathetic, really validating how someone feels, even if you don't fully agree. Creating that safe space where they feel seen, heard, not judged. And importantly, asking deeper questions. Questions that get to their core values, their dreams, maybe even their fears. The material gave a great example, like, what's a dream you've maybe never told anyone? Questions like that invite real emotional sharing, moves you way beyond the surface. And the insight here, which the sources really back up, is that this emotional connection, it often becomes more important than physical attraction in the long run. It's like the scaffolding that holds a relationship together over time.
Wow, that's a powerful idea, emotional connection being the dominant force long term. And it brings us to something that maybe gets missed in a lot of dating advice, which is focusing on ourselves. It's not just about the interaction, is it? It's also about our own growth.
Exactly. And this raises a really interesting point about what makes someone magnetic. The sources are pretty clear. Prioritizing self-growth is essential. Why? Because genuinely attractive people aren't, like, perfect. They're evolving. They're growing. So this means things like, yeah, having your own hobbies and passions. It makes you more interesting, sure. But it also builds that inner confidence and self-sufficiency. It also means taking care of your emotional health, maybe through mindfulness or therapy or journaling, whatever works for you. That boosts self-awareness, makes you more resilient, a more stable partner. And also just practicing your social skills generally, expanding your circle, interacting with different kinds of people. It makes you more adaptable, more engaging. The main idea is this. The more fulfilled you are on your own, the more magnetic your energy naturally becomes. You're not looking for someone to complete you. You're looking for someone to share your already full life with. And that's attractive.
That really shifts the perspective, doesn't it? From finding someone to fix something to finding someone to share something. Okay. So we've covered building attraction inside, making those first connections, the importance of working on ourselves. Now, what about the actual like nuts and bolts of dating? And if you do find someone, how do you keep that initial spark going?
Okay, first things first, something often missed. Managing expectations. This is critical. The sources really advise against going into dating with, like, desperation or needing every date to be the one. Not every single date is going to have fireworks. And that's completely normal. It's okay. Try approaching it with curiosity instead. Like, what can I learn here about this person, about myself?
Yeah.
That takes the pressure off, makes it more of an exploration. Focus on quality, not just quantity. You know, meaningful interactions over just swiping endlessly. And really importantly, learn from each date. What felt good, what didn't. What kind of person aligns with your values now? Every interaction is data, really.
Data for personal growth. I like that. Okay, and let's say you do find a connection you want to build on. The journey's not over, right? Our sources had some interesting things to say about how to keep the spark alive.
Right, because chemistry isn't static. It's not like you find it and then you're done. It's dynamic.
Yeah.
It needs nurturing. So to keep it alive, the sources suggest keep dating your partner. Seriously. Keep exploring new places, trying new things together. Create those novel shared experiences that keep things fresh. Release those bonding chemicals. Open, honest communication is huge. Talking about desires, needs, boundaries. That psychological safety lets intimacy deepen. And also, don't forget the small stuff. Celebrating little moments. Showing appreciation. Acknowledging effort. Saying thank you. That stuff fuels connection. Makes your partner feel valued. A sort of pro tip that came up was about playfulness and surprise, keeping things a bit unpredictable, fun, that really helps fight off complacency and keeps the attraction feeling alive long term.
Playfulness and surprise. Got it.
And one more tricky area, especially early on, knowing when or even if to escalate or when to pull back. That can feel like walking a tightrope.
It really can. Creating that bit of romantic tension helps chemistry grow. But yeah, timing and reading the situation are everything. The sources suggest things like gradually increasing physical touch, but appropriately, respectfully, like a light touch on the arm when you're both laughing, maybe a brief hand on their shoulder to make a point. Small cues that signal interest and test their comfort level. Playful flirting, too witty banter, light teasing it signals interest without being too heavy, keeps the energy up. But the absolute key here, emphasized again and again, is reading the signals. Comfort versus discomfort. Chemistry has to be mutual. If you're not getting positive signs back or you sense hesitation, you need to respect that and back off. The actionable advice is basically test boundaries slowly, pay close attention to their response, and always prioritize making them feel safe and respected. Attraction really only thrives when there's trust, right?
Absolutely. Trust and mutual respect.
Okay, so wrapping this all up, what's the big picture here? Our deep dive seems to show that this chemistry of connection, it's not just luck. It's this really fascinating mix of things we can actually work on. Cultivating that real confidence, showing genuine interest, building deep emotional bonds, communicating well, both verbally and non-verbally. It's complex, yeah, like that Rubik's Cube, but maybe understanding the mechanics makes it less intimidating.
Exactly. It demystifies it somewhat. And the final thought from the sources really sums it up nicely. The most magnetic connections happen when you are fully yourself and genuinely interested in your partner.
Mm.
And then love, in its most profound sense, follows authenticity.
Mm.
It's really a call to know yourself and to engage with others from that authentic place.
That's a really powerful note to end on. Authenticity as the foundation for love. Hmm. And it really makes you think, doesn't it? If chemistry is this blend, physical, emotional, intellectual cues, and it's dynamic, needs effort, needs authenticity, then maybe there are these sort of scientific principles we can apply more broadly. Beyond just romance, what overlooked strategies could help us master the art of connection, not like all parts of our lives? Building deeper friendships, maybe more effective professional relationships. What little experiments could we try in our everyday interactions to build those kinds of magnetic, authentic bonds everywhere? Definitely something to chew on until our next deep dive.